And when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop. And when I got the chance to go, I said I should go. And so it opened up.
We were only the small little fish out there, so we are, and we're trying hard to make it through. But it's hard to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know, and it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today, because, like, I'm heartbroken.
Said I had to start the show with a bit of Sean South for Gary Owen, lads. That's the Limerick team song. Well, it was 2 years ago and I didn't hear them singing yesterday's coach, so we saw no footage or anything. But Ken, double league champions, double Munster champions, now All-Ireland champions 2 times in 3 years. They hammered Clare, they hammered Tipp, they hammered Waterford in the final. You know, a lot of people were saying this year, scarily, that they weren't even playing well. They've won their 5 championship games by a combined total of 37 points. This is getting like a domination Kilkenny style here.
Yeah, no, geez, I won't mind my team if people are saying you weren't playing well and you're racking up them scores. But no, I think they're a brilliant team. I honestly do. I think I said last week to lads around the place that we needed to play up to that second half level that we did against Kilkenny to come near them. Unfortunately, we didn't. And they're an unbelievable team. They're so strong, so fit, so fast. They play a different style of hurling. It's hard to get your head around how they're finding space so much, but they don't waste ball. And their accuracy and their striking, like, they scored 30 points in December. Like, that's incredible shooting. Let's be honest about it. Like, I remember playing Munster Club games before. The scores can be 112, 113, but they're getting 30 points a game in winter hurling. It's incredible. I probably felt they left last year behind them, and then they come along with 2 and 3 years. They're cementing that. They wanted to be known as a great team. I think they definitely are. And to be honest, it could be only the start of something huge for them, you know?
It has that kind of feel for it. 30 points was only done once before in an All-Ireland final, JJ. I'll let you remind Ken when that was.
Not today, well, I won't drink it up.
Today. Well, you've all day, so you can't
pick a man. Thanks, JJ always looked after me.
We'll let that one pass.
But
I was phenomenal for there yesterday, yeah, as well. Like, you know, really, it's just, if you go over the field for a minute, when you go up there, hoping that Limerick don't hit top gear, but I don't think it would have made any difference what team was out there against Limerick there yesterday. To just hit the heights of that performance there, especially on Ireland final day, it's a huge plus for John Kiely, I suppose. Probably didn't hit the heights of it for 70 minutes since probably Tipperary in the Munster final last year as well. But they were phenomenal all over the field. You looked inevitable now from 5 minutes in, they were just tackling hard. And when Tom Morris got the point and Shane O'Sandy got the point at the start, you're kind of saying, right, Waterford need to get in there now. But look, they were just relentless now, and just weren't great. They were hooks and blocks. They were here now in the songs more than scores themselves. It shows what kind of mentality had come into the game.
Yeah, no, it definitely did. Like, I mean, 10 wins out of 10 in league and championship in 2020, and 13 if you include the Munster League. I think they're the first team to win every league and championship game since Tipperary in 1961. You must have come close enough to that, JJ, no?
I thought in 2016, I think again, they might be too far away from it, I think. But yeah, I suppose, look, the league is probably, you're not the thing that you'd be. You were thinking of in the league, starting the league now, just kind of getting their fitness up and get back on the team, getting starting 15 really more rather than going winning games and getting their touch back in. But yeah, phenomenal thing that to think back on. I don't think the players probably realised going into the other field that was up for grabs. But it was all about winning the next game, and this team is all about focusing on the next game there as well. And you look at the age profile there as well, and it doesn't fit well for any inter-county player from any other county looking at that there as well. It's just phenomenal, and just the physicality to bring to the table there as well. And I'd say people looking at it now, players from other counties are going to have to rethink their Christmas dinner now coming up in a couple of weeks' time, and to be dry turkey now and maybe a protein shake after Christmas dinner, because they're physically so dominant as well. They were massive. Sean Finn is just bursting out of the jersey himself, and he's not one of their big players either, like, you know, and they just have it every way, like, you know, they can play hurling if you want to play hurling against them. Tackly, they're actually very, very astute there as well, and they have the hunger out from John Kiely, and he's just in front of me there for 5 minutes gone in the game, there was a ruck there as well, and he's just shouting, bodies, 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 get in there. So if he was very close to jumping in himself and going to tackle one of the Waffle lads, he was just so focused then. But he's to a man, they knew exactly what the job they had to do themselves, you know. It was brilliant to watch, brilliant to watch.
Yeah, and Ken, they're an unusually big team. Like, you have Dan Morrissey, you have Declan Hannan, Dermot Burns, you have Kyle Hayes, you have Willie O'Donoghue, you have Garrod Hegarty, you have Seamus Flanagan. They're all monstrously tall men. Then you have Gallant, Tom Morrissey, Keane Lynch, you have Sean Finn, who are built like, you know, rugby players. Like, I mean, yeah. And that's not even mentioning the incredible skill, scoring, all these things they have. And they seem to have a great attitude. And in fairness to them, they're not a dislikable team in any way. Like, I mean, you would like them.
Yeah, look, they're definitely, look, I'll be honest, obviously we're sick and more, but they're a very likeable team. And you said it there, they definitely are. There's some great characters on that. And they're not all robots, if you know what I mean. They offer something different. They can say a few things. They're showing their personalities, I suppose, outside and on the pitch, you know. But the physique of them is unbelievable. They all really look like Dolph Lundgren and Rocky IV. They have that mad physique, you know. I it's unreal how they all look nearly the exact same, you know. And I think Liam Cahill said it straight after the game that Watford probably have to look at trying in some way catch him, you know. But I probably feel we're definitely 2 or 3 years behind in that terms, but they're unbelievable. But they can mix so much, Colin, like their physicality, their work rate, their tackling, how hard in the tackle they go, and they go to the edge as well, which that great Kilkenny team did, and you need that as well. But their hurling is unbelievable, and you can go on with work rate, everything and tactics. But you see Tom Morrissey, you see Gallant, Seamus Flanagan, some of the points the lads got yesterday, you'd be saying, how did that happen? Like, Gallant got a point under the Cusick stand, was incredible on his right hand. It meant to be his weaker hand on the wrong side of the pitch, far hitting the ball in the right hand. It was unbelievable. And like you're saying, when I saw that going over, I said, oh shit, we're under a bit of pressure here, because we needed a goal that probably kickstart something for us, that gives us that kind of impetus to drive it on. But some of the scoring they're getting is unreal. And Garrod Hegarty striking the ball off half a hurley from midfield over the bar, left and right, is incredible, really, you know. So that's been some couple of years for him, an unbelievable performance. I think it was the complete performance in a final. I never looked like losing, and we were totally in control, you know.
I've seen fellas running down the sideline towards the goal scoring points, but Aaron Gallant was running down the sideline away from the goals on his wrong side and put it over nonchalantly, Ken. Like, I mean, it's like he just barely tapped that when he's running the wrong way.
Like, you do know, it's obviously the ball is going, it's going that way, it's going left to right, stay from that side. So it is hard, and he's going away from goal. Like, and Prunty couldn't have done any more. He probably could have tried to get him over the line, which he obviously did try to do. But Graham was so strong. He was so strong, kept the ball outside the line. And it was unreal scoring. Sometimes when you see them scoring, you go, oh no, this is not going to be our day. But look, they have that capability. And you said you have three half-forwards that can do anything on the ball, and the damage they're causing from playing and general play is unbelievable. Then you throw in Gallant, you throw in Seamus Flanagan, you throw in Peter Casey, you throw in Graham Mulcahy, who was probably the quieter year, but still is working so much. That's six unreal forwards combined with the two lads in the field, and then you have three half-backs, especially two wing-backs, who are bombing forward every opportunity. Kyle Hayes up and down that pitch so much yesterday, lad. He was like a wing forward. And how do you mark that? I paused the telly once or twice yesterday. I said, who's on Kyle Hayes? To myself, I was talking to myself. I think of it. Who's on Kyle Hayes? Who's on Hegarty? I didn't. And when you're watching on telly, it's so hard to figure out who's on who, because the movement, like JJ, you were obviously up there, you could see more. I didn't know who was actually on Hegarty, who was on Tom Morrissey. How are they getting 50, 60 yards free? How is Kyle Hayes so free to go up and down that side? So it is hard to figure them out. And like I said, I'm meeting the lads over a couple of pints in the afternoon. The first hour will all be some of the match. I don't know how to figure out how to stop them, you know. That's the hard thing, you know.
No, well, it's not easy. We'll get into some of that in part two, because the Waterford forwards were moving around. So there wasn't anyone in particular, JJ. You probably could see that at the match as well. But we'll get into that, because Eddie Brennan probably had the best tweet yesterday or during or after the game, JJ. And Ken mentions, you know, Limerick taking it to the line, a little bit like your great Kilkenny team, which he did, and there's nothing wrong with that, and there's nothing wrong with Limerick either. But it was about Garrod Hegarty. He says, if there's ever a man to pull the puppy dog innocent face better than Tommy Walsh, it's Garrod Hegarty. And Garrod Hegarty, like Paddy Stapleton tweeted last night, he said, does Garrod Hegarty ever feel that one of his numerous fouls is actually a foul? And Garrod Hegarty replied back to him, no. He complained, and I don't know if you noticed in the football, John Small from Dublin is the very same. The innocent look on the lads as they're constantly fouling lads.
Asher, look, he's unbelievable. But even where he fouls in their opposition full back lane, in between the full back lane there and the half back lane as well. What that gives the chances, like, it's too far out for the opposing team to score. And what it does, it gets the Limerick backs a couple of seconds to reset, and they're waiting for the ball to come down, and then nine times out of ten they win that ball, and then they're back on the attack then as well. So it's kind of a tactical foul from the Limerick forwards as well, and it's brilliant. But look, again, any good player now has to play in the edge, simple as that. And his physicality brings to the whole thing is just phenomenal as well. But it's great to see him regarding the likes of Tom Morrissey and Gerard Hegarty kind of doing stuff like that for the rest of the team. But for me, yes or no, the probably two lads that didn't score, and Ken mentioned them already, with Graham McCarty and Keane Lynch. Graham McCarty probably the smallest lad in the field, but he'd put himself around the field, left, right and centre. Anyone who bought for back was coming out, he was giving hit left, right and centre there as well. So when you have the hit lads like that doing work like that, it just makes the thing a lot easier, and it breaks the other team, breaks their spirit coming out, especially as a back. You're after beating one man, you're coming out, another lad hitting you and knocking you back, and then you go again and two or three lads around you. Then you're blown for over carrying, or you get steps or something like that, and it just breaks your heart as a defender as well. And the team as a whole is broken, and was broken in the second half from the work rate of Limerick as well.
Yeah, no, it definitely was, and it just kind of, I think backing up the All Ireland, Ken, seemed like a big deal to them, because I'm thinking back in Clare in 2012, wasn't it? Like, I mean, and they had a similar age profile, and Clare haven't even won a Munster since 2012. Like, I mean, Limerick have backed up their All Ireland now with another All Ireland, you know, like, which is a huge thing.
Yeah, I think it was 2013. I think we're only talking 13, about that against Cork. Yeah, no, sorry, but I think it was massive for them. They probably felt they left Ireland behind them last year, where they took Kilkenny for granted or not, which is probably a crazy thing to say, but maybe they didn't get up for that game to start a semi-final last year. It cost them. They hammered Tip in the Munster final last year, lad, so they would have felt they had a right chance of Tip in the final. But I think this group of players, they felt they were good enough. They felt they had probably a team spirit there. There's a unity amongst them all. You'd see in the way they can act and how they go on that they want more. They want more from it. And they want more from yesterday. I'd say in their time, yesterday is over already now. Look, they'll enjoy a few weeks, obviously, to win in Ireland before Christmas is something unbelievable, I'd say. You know, they experience that and to try and come down and switch off and enjoy it a couple of weeks now. But these lads want more. You'd see it in the way they act, how they kind of go about stuff after matches, even stuff during the game. They want more and more and more. You've Keane Lynch was a good hurler here 2 years ago. Gerard Hegarty lying for a dish. They'll all want to try and beat each other in the best possible way and be a team member. And that's what they're doing, in all fairness. They will give that ball to whoever's run next to them. They'll give it. They're not worried about trying to score for themselves. They're going to give that ball. And that's like, to me, for John Coyley sitting back saying, I have these exactly what I want, and 2 All-Irelands, 2 Munster titles, 2 leagues, just driving on for the next couple of years, because you have to make hay. Like, JJ's team would have whatever they could in that time, and they were right, because you have to make, whenever you have that chance, you take it, you know?
Yeah, and they seem to have
that. They're very intelligent on the field as well, though, Ken, as well. If you look at them, Fergal Horgan left a lot of things going the first couple of minutes. That just played into Limerick's hands as well, regarding the size and strength of them. And they just hopped off the waffle ledge as well. Like, you know, they knew the referee wasn't going to blow the whistle for ratting just a pull or a drag. So if they were going to give away a free, the Waterford guy felt it now, you know, the kind of way. So brilliant, intelligent on-field play is brilliant. Like, you know what I mean? The fed referee, he wasn't going to blow it. So he said, right, we'll go to lesser law with the referee letting us do that. So that just played into Waterford's hands or Limerick's hands as well, in regard to physicality that.
But as well as that, as you said, to change on the field, to see what's happening on the field, and that's supposed to be key of the best teams, isn't it? They can adjust to what's going on, or instead of sticking to something that's not working, or sticking to something that might, they could see that the ref is leading things going well. And when they were hitting the wall for lads, I think Jamie Barron got 1 or 2 belts, they were hitting them hard. You know, you'd feed them belts, and that knocks it out of you. To adjust to that, say, right, that ref, the ref is leading off very hard, I'm going to tear into every tackle. You know, and on the edge, which I have no problem with being on the edge, because that's the way I play myself at times. And JJ, your team, and I think the best teams really have to be on the edge. Of course you do. You know?
Yeah, no, they definitely do. They seem to have a really high performance setup where the standards are so high that they set for themselves. And if there's any bit of a criticism, they don't really go for goals all that often, Ken.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they had that great chance in the first half. A terrible effort by Kyle Hayes, really straight at Stephen O'Keefe. And then Keane Lynch drove it into the ground. And geez, if you saw the state of the pitch in Croke Park, going into the ground probably wasn't the right thing to do. But it was a brilliant double save. I don't want to take away from Stephen O'Keefe.
Yeah, no, it was probably, I suppose, that even for ourselves at home, it was probably the most of the excitement we got, you know. Like, it was a brilliant passage of play from Limerick. Yeah, lovely touch from Keane Lynch, Darragh Dolman, simple hand pass. But then Lynch, he held that ball an extra second or so, gave it to Kyle Hayes at the right time. Now, it was a poor shot, but it was a brilliant save, but it wasn't probably the best position of the shot at all. If he bounced that, it was a goal, you know. Now, Keane Lynch probably could have catched it and buried it. I would have probably volleyed on myself. It was probably the most instinctive thing to do. And the second save was actually good because it was just on the bounce, you know. But it probably was the most exciting part of it. But Colin, when you're getting 30 points a game, you don't have to worry about goals. Now, from a spectator's point of view, you're kind of saying that's what gets the crowd up, or it gets all us going at home or whatever, goals. That's what you love to see. And I always love that in a game. It gets people off their seats. But when they're striking over the ball so effortlessly, so it's so awkward how they're doing it. They're not worried about goals, you know. Let's be honest about it, you know.
Yeah,
probably not. They'll be scared for other teams as well when they do get goals as well. Like, you know what I mean? obviously, they'll focus in on that the next year again. And when they do tweak the system to go get goals, 2 or 3:30, that was the first goal.
Yeah, which they probably will.
Trying to counteract, you know. Yeah.
I'm going to ask you that in part two, because I think because of a sweeper, they don't bother with goals. They're just tapping it over because they have the spare man. But I'll ask you about that in part two. I was just mentioning the state of the pitch. There was 22 games in 8 weeks or something, I was reading. And then there was the Camogie final on the Saturday and then the match before it. Very unusual, JJ, wasn't it, seeing the pitch in that state for an All-Ireland final? Now, I'm not criticising anyone. It's the middle of winter. It's just when you see Croke Park kind of with the pitch like that, and then you have an All-Ireland final with no parade, no meeting the president. There wasn't even the crest painted on the middle of the bloody pitch. It was an All-Ireland final that felt like the build up to a challenge match.
Yeah, I kind of look watching the Camogie match there on Saturday night there as well. I was getting your minutes, you know what I mean? Good interest in a good friend of mine bringing it out as well. His managing team, so big shout out to them as well. Great win. But yeah, I was kind of concerned about the pitch there as well. So I was taking an interest game there Sunday morning just to have a look at it. But down the both sides was poor. And it was starting the groundsman there. And he said, look, just didn't get a chance to recover regarding the amount of games that's on the field there as well. And there's very minimal growth there this time of year, he was saying too. So look, you can understand where they'll come from. They're just probably playing off the games to get the championship finished as quickly as possible. But even after the match there yesterday, they were back on working on the pitch then again to get it right for next week as well. It's probably the best as they could get it, to be fair to them. But yeah, no, I'd agree with you. Even with the warm-up area down to the side of the pitch there as well, it was just all muck. There's no grass whatsoever on it, you know. So even for taking sidelines as well, it's very, very hard. And he's asking Gleeson got a brilliant sideline in the first half there as well, and I'm surprised he got it because there's little or no grass on it on the side of the pitch as well. But yeah, look, it was poor, but in regarding what the groundsman said, no, you could understand completely the amount of games and no growth this time of year as well, and heavy rain as well. So look, again, it was as good as what it was going to get, unfortunately, you know. But I'd agree with you. Usually, you picture all on the final day, you picture pure green grass, and then the crest were painted in the middle of the field there as well. But no, there's none of that. But look, it was completely different. The whole day was completely different. No parade, no meeting present or anything like that, you know. And even one of the teams is coming out now, and they have a song on before the teams get out. They nearly even missed that because it was just unusual. You didn't think it was our final day looking out the place, you know.
Yeah, I could imagine. I can understand the no parade thing, Ken, because obviously all the people in the band wouldn't be allowed in with the restrictions on numbers. They could let the president in, though, the fist pump device lined up along the red carpet. I don't really know why they didn't do that.
Yeah. I'll be honest, I think yesterday, and I enjoyed a few games for the last few months, I've been brilliant, but yesterday, to be honest with you, it was strange. It was actually unbelievably strange for Waterford people at home watching an Ireland final. And this is where I said to a few of the lads there last week that, like, if you win, it's great, you won all Ireland. If you lose, you're on a bus. There was no crowd at the game. There was nothing. There was no parade. There was no meeting the president. So you didn't get that all Ireland experience. You know what I'm saying? So I'd say it's very awkward. Like, we were there yesterday at home, and all of a sudden they're talking, the national anthem was on, and the game started. It probably was the first time it really affected, I think, us even watching the game at home. It didn't feel like an All-Ireland. It was very, very strange, you know. I suppose the last couple of games, we played the evening time, Saturday evening, maybe that felt a bit different again, even, you know. It felt like maybe, I don't know, that we just looked probably nearly dead starting off yesterday, and I don't know, maybe what was it? The no parade, no national anthem, or there was a national anthem, but no, it didn't probably feel like a final, which if you win, you don't care, let's be honest with you. You have an Ireland in your pocket, you don't care. But losing, there must have been strange last night, coming home on a bus. Did that, you'd be saying, did that actually happen? Because we were sitting at home last night saying, it felt like it was a non-event, you know, coming from. It was, it was weird. It was actually weird.
Yeah, would you not probably have felt the same heartbreak as you would on a normal occasion when the build-up is bigger? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know. Look, obviously, I'm sure you would. You would feel the heartbreak because it's not a final, but I don't know. I just felt, I'd say it was very strange. I'd say, obviously, the whole year was strange, but I think yesterday really, to me, just hit home how weird and how, say, not normal it was. Do you know where I'm coming from? Which is probably, is that sound silly, but I just felt it was... to us, it was like, obviously, Limerick were dominant team. It was kind of like an anti-climax, really, watching this at home. And it didn't feel like an All-Ireland, you know?
Yeah.
I said, I didn't mind it a few weeks ago, but just yesterday, it just really felt strange. I'd be straight up.
Well, Gerard Hegarty's not too worried, JJ. He said, it's going to be a great Christmas. We'll find a way to celebrate. He said, the one thing that kept me going over the lockdown was imagine winning an All-Ireland at Christmas time. How good Christmas would be. I'm going to look forward to the next few weeks. I'm just thinking of Gerard Hegarty, probably 6'6", trying to sneak in the back door of a pub down in Limerick at some stage. I don't know how they're going to disguise him.
I did remind you something all right now. Just remind you something all right. But look, it's great. Look, you need for intercounty players, you need a small bit of extra motivation. That's something different every year on year. You know what I mean? Just keep it tipping away. Like, and obviously Gerard kind of took that kind of inspiration, is that, like, hopefully we'll never ever have another COVID championship again, like, you know. And looking back in it, like, 2020 it's not a great year for a lot of people, but then Limerick's people now is after bringing them a lot of joy there as well this year too, you know. So, and the players will look back in this in 15, 20 years time saying, yeah, we won that championship. You'll never forget it too. So hopefully we'll never have another one again. So look, it's brilliant to do one. Have a brilliant Christmas there as well for the players themselves. But it's just a sense of satisfaction that the players get from winning there as well. And every decision they made, even during lockdown, even the middle of the summer, we didn't think there's going to be a championship going ahead. So it's very easy for these players now to let themselves go and not do the training, not do the gym work. But these guys obviously did do it, you know what I mean? And they're motivated as much as in a normal championship as well. So you have to give your hats off to them as well, to be fair.
Yeah, definitely. Any word on Tadhg Na Bhfearca, Ken? Did you hear any more news?
No, I didn't hear anything today. No, I was working this morning. I didn't hear too much. It looked bad enough. It looked like his knee kind of popped a bit or went on him. And he knew straight away he was in trouble, you know. Look, he's a tough bit of stuff. He doesn't really do theatrics. He doesn't kind of go on with nonsense, you know. So, he jogged off the pitch, you know. But when that don't say an awful lot, he'd be a proud man. He'd see how hurt he was. Look, he's such a vital player for us. There was a big loss. I don't think it would have made a massive, massive difference in the second half, but he would have held in that area better. Now, Iarla Daly played well when he came on and done his job very well for coming on and couldn't ask for more with him. But Toigies are one of our leaders, one of our class players, you know. But look, you feel sorry for him. He only came back from injury, I think, this year, wasn't it? So he was really having a brilliant championship. And look, it's to happen in the final like that, you know, it's tough going. It's tough going.
Yeah, it definitely is. And he did jog off, JJ, but we know those cruciate injuries. Lads do play on and then they go again. It's like
the trick. I kept an eye on him coming up on the steps there as well. He did hop over a seat there as well, so hopefully he won't, but just kind of double line Ken's fine. Psychologically, he was a big blow for Waterford. They were hanging in that bigger time, and see one of your big players go off the field there as well. And Sandy Tenna happening against Tipperary when Henry went off, so he knew he was injured coming into, but he went off there again, you know. And kind of said, yeah, we were hoping now he'd last the game, but he didn't. And just a team walking off the field when you're big go-to players, and you know he won't be there for the rest of the first half and the second half, and you want the most, you know. And, like, largely, it's a big blow to see one of your big guys going off the field, you know.
Yeah, we'd only probably two experienced players in our backs, really, Kevin and Tadhg. Callum Lyons, Ian Kenny, Prunty, and Shane McNulty were young, you know. So the two lads are so experienced. You need Tadhg there, and he's such a good sweeper and a cover of that centre back position where he plays. It was a huge negative for us, but I don't think it would affect him the score at all, really. If you look at it, but it was a massive loss for us.
Yeah, exactly. So Joe McDonagh Cup win for Antrim, lads. I thought this was a convincing enough win. I saw the first 25 minutes. They didn't have a seat for me for the Joe McDonagh in Croke Park. Obviously, I'm not important enough to get a seat for both matches. But I watched the first 25 minutes. Jeez, I thought Antrim looked by far better than Kerry. And then I looked at the final result, and Kerry were well in it. One of the best images for the game Ken, was Darren Gleeson running at the end of the match. He jumped on Donal Nugent, and Darren Gleeson's a big unit. He wrapped his legs around him, and there was no way Nugent was staying standing when that with the legs wrapped around.
Yeah, that's great. I love to see that. Look, you want to see that. You want to see emotion, like, you know, that's what you play the game for. And obviously the effort he's putting in there, up and down to Antrim, like, it's massive. And Antrim played some lovely hurling. I was tipping in and out of it. I was trying to keep the kids some way entertained before I watched our game, you know. So I think I was running down, turning on the Grinch. I was running up and down, my head was wrecked. But Antrim played some lovely stuff. The fullback misjudged the ball in the first half. Yeah, and he had a good game. He had a great game. But it was a pure a rush of blood, really. Like, he had loads of time to catch the ball, tap it down, and he missed the ball. Kerry put forward, buried it, and it gave Kerry the kind of like the belief to drive. But Kerry really fought very hard. Antrim had the better hurlers.
Yeah.
Played some lovely hurling at times, got some base force in play, especially in the second half. McManus came on and showed his class a bit as well then, you know. So like, Antrim were good. You know, Kerry fought to the bitter end, which they'll always do, but Antrim, I think, had that extra bit of class and found scores much easier, especially from play, you know.
Yeah, JJ, you were there for that. There's no way you're not important enough to watch to be in there early for the Joe McDonagh Cup. Is that fair enough, JJ? Antrim looked a much better team and Kerry were hanging in there.
Yeah, I do overall now. They had more to dictate, more to play there as well. And near the end, Kerry came with a run. I think Antrim were kind of sitting back really, rather than attacking, kind of defending their lead more than that. And then, you know, Kerry got a couple of scores there from outside the field. One good primary possession and got a couple of good scores. But near the end, they're looking for the goal really to kind of get them back into it and get them back fighting. But you're always continuing to look. If Antrim would hold them out here now, they'll go on and win it. You know, they can win. So look, they're probably more comfortable on it. And they were more kind of impressive then in going up for next year's championship as well. You see, you'd probably say that Antrim were probably best equipped in regarding strength and condition than Kerry as well, like, to be fair, you know. And as I said, overall, probably you'd be looking at Antrim are deserved winners now for yesterday as well, to be fair.
Yeah, Mikey Boyle definitely could do with a bit of strength and conditioning. Maybe a bit more conditioning than strength, the full forward. I was laughing when Matthew Donnelly he tried to bat the ball, like Ken was saying, and it didn't go in. And there's Mikey Boyle standing in behind him. I wouldn't say Mikey Boyle is out in front very often, so if mistakes like that happen.
He's a good hurler. He's a good hurler.
Yeah,
he's caught a great
hands, yeah.
As well. He's great hands, you know. But look, some of that read, that strength and condition obviously takes time. You see Limerick, I think Waterford are a bit behind Limerick in strength and condition, obviously, but all that takes time, and like, it doesn't happen overnight, you know. But it was an old school kind of goal, wasn't it? But look, sometimes old school work, you know.
Yeah, he's more. He looked like what an old school hurler has it in the wrist, but probably hates laps. Was kind of what I thought when I saw. I got to throw this one to you, Neil McManus. Like you mentioned, Ken, he scored 4 points, came on with a great attitude, and then I was thinking, geez, Neil McManus is back fit a week before this match, and it does show that Darren Gleeson has a bit about him to not start him, and then. Like, I mean, Conal Cunning comes on at half time. So Neil McManus is sitting in the dressing room. Here's a lad coming off, and he's not even coming on at this stage. Like, I mean, you would have been in a situation like Neil McManus under Davy Fitz at the very end. I have a bit of experience. I won't even ask JJ. He wouldn't know what we're talking about. Like, Neil McManus would be within his rights to go, here, what the hell is going on here?
He would. Like, look, I'll be honest. Like, that's a good plus for Darren Gleeson, because obviously he feels like he has a panel there. Like, there's Antrim, all the lads that came on for Antrim made huge impacts. Like, Antrim had some very classy forwards going forward, you know. Some of the stick work was class, you know. But when you see McManus, who, in my opinion, and JJ will back me up here, if he was with another county, and that's no disrespect to Antrim, because they weren't playing probably the higher end championship hurling for a few years, he'd be as good as any hurling in the country. That man is unbelievable. I've seen him playing a few games at Ireland semi-final against De La Salle there in Parnell Park. He was incredible, you know. He could play centre back, centre forward, and he came on with a great attitude. But he has a great attitude, you know that about him anyway. He'd be huge love for hurling up in the Glens of Antrim. He'd be huge love for Antrim, and he showed that. And you'd have great respect for Neil McManus after that, because the easiest thing in the world is to come on a bit of a headbutt and start pulling and dragging or do whatever. But he knew, look, the bigger picture here, that he obviously was injured for a lot of the championship, but he came on and done the business. And look, I thought it was a great sign for Antrim going forward. that Neil Mann has done that, and that they have a backup that they didn't risk him or didn't rush him in there, which is huge, you know.
Yeah. What did you make of Shane Conway, JJ? Like, he got a good point at the end. That was his only point from play. There's not a pick on him, is there, JJ? Like, imagine him running into Sean.
No, he's light, yeah. Yeah, he's very light, but look, I've seen him in UCC, you know, Fitzgibbon and all that stuff, and he was absolutely brilliant. I was kind of looking forward to seeing him play, but look, again, he's obviously a marked man with the Antrim guys there as well, and look, it didn't fall for him, but you know, when he does get the ball in his hands, he knows exactly what to do. He's a natural forward there as well, and very, very good in the freeze there as well. And he got a point near the end as well, but look, he has it in the hands all right now, yeah, but look, he probably doesn't need to be physically bigger, like, and obviously it will help him as he develops as well, but I wouldn't be kind of telling him, push him into the gym and that either, like, you know, because he has the hands and he has the legs and he knows where to be as well, like, to be fair, like, so look, he's a great player, it's great for him, the likes of him and the ability he has to be playing for back is brilliant, but again, I just, as what he had the conversation last week as well, I thought it was terrible now that they were asked to leave Paul Park there as well after it, you know, kind of way, just
it's crazy.
Didn't sit right with me either, to be fair, you know, and the amount of effort they were putting in for it, you know, and you're looking around the stadium and see, you know, jackets all over the place there as well, but, and these guys were asked to leave, you know, I didn't sit right with me, to be honest.
Yeah. No, it definitely didn't. What did you think? What did you think of Shane Conway, Ken? Have you seen him playing before?
I heard a good bit about him. I was looking forward to seeing him. I suppose there was a lot of pressure on his shoulders as well, and we were all looking forward to seeing him. But look, Antrim had the homework done on him, and he didn't get much space at all. I was watching his movement there in the second half, and everywhere he went, he was being marked, you know, which, like, obviously they couldn't keep their eyes off him because he's such a vital player. Look, obviously he has the wrist, he has the hurling, but it is winter hurling as well. It mightn't really suit him, you know.
Yeah.
The pitch, as we said, was only okay. Like, I think he definitely is a summer hurler. He's light enough. Look, the strength and vision, he'll have to probably improve that slightly. I wouldn't be asking him to turn into a tank like some of the Limerick lads, because that's not his natural shape. But yeah, I suppose we're expecting so much from him. I suppose he'd probably feel himself he could have done a bit better. But like, I my first time probably seeing him live, so I wouldn't criticise young player at all. I think Kerry will definitely have better days, but they'll need him playing to his best because he is a bit of class. But I echo probably JJ's point, not these lads watch the senior game, I think it was crazy. I think it shows lack of respect, really, you know. Like, you're in town on Saturday, there's hundreds of people in every shop walking down the streets, and we can't leave two teams who won there. The John McDonald Cup, sit down and watch the final. I don't think that's right at all. I don't know how you come up with that decision and feel that that's the right decision. I think that's crazy, you know.
Yeah, in fairness to the was mentioning this, sometimes that was more of a government decision, not wanting to relax that at all. So we won't criticise the GM much for that. Right, we'll come back here, lads, and we'll actually talk about the match. All right, lads, so it finished up Limerick 30 points, Waterford 19. And I suppose, JJ, like, it was a very one-sided game, if we're being honest. Like, obviously, Waterford battled back into it before half-time and would have been delighted to go in only three down. But one stat from the scoring really stands out. 24 points from play for Limerick and only 8 for Waterford. Now, I know Limerick fouled a fair bit, but they just came by score so easily compared to Waterford, who had to work so hard for theirs.
Yeah, look, even for the first half, you know, the 14-11 at half time, Limerick has 7 scores from play and Waterford only 2. Like, you know, your line has deep minute to hit over, and Austin got a brilliant feeling there as well in the first half. But you're waiting for Limerick to kick on, and look at them, a couple of goals, as that goal went in the first half, we spoke with Stephen O'Keefe, then it could be a lot worse there for them. But it's fair, they were hanging in, Waterford were hanging in, they were only 3 points down, and but Limerick came out then, they got the start that Waterford really needed, you know, and then after probably 10 minutes in the second half, you're kind of saying, right, Limerick have turned up here now for the full 70 minutes, and you're kind of fearing of what they would score, you know. But they'll probably talk about going up to the match before, they're saying, hopefully Limerick don't turn up and should Waterford play like they did against Kilkenny in the second half. But unfortunately for Waterford, Limerick turned up and they were firing on all cylinders, they were all over the field. But as I said, Frank Horgan, when he refereed the game, played straight into Limerick's hands as well, because the physicality they brought to the table was unbelievable. But they were great, and hooking and blocking the hits, you could hear them in the stadium with the no crowds, you could hear the actual hits themselves, you know, and Waterford players felt every single one of them, you know.
Right. You must have been delighted at half-time, Ken.
Couldn't believe it. To be honest with you, we said, gee, how are we only 3 behind, you know? But and we were hoping for that. I thought if we were two or three pints in at half time, or even two or three pints in on the second water break, that we'd have a great chance. But to be honest with you, like, Limerick dominated the first half, and we were only 3 points down. You're kind of going, right, this could be our day, you know, because Limerick looked at ease at times, or getting, as you said, what, 24 from play, and we only got 8. Every score we got, and every strike we got, was under pressure. It would remind you of that Super Kilkenny team, because they bombarded that middle area, so you couldn't get any space on the ball. Now, the one thing we had a couple of goal chances, right? Like, Fagan had a right chance in the first couple of minutes, and that had it going in. That could have given us that spark of, and Limerick could even think, you know, this Waterford team is a bit different. They're going for goals. They're not even doing anything at times. We had probably 3 or 4. Definitely Fagan's one was a great goal chance. Montgomery had a bit of a sniffer one. Stephen Bennett, who at times held on to that ball just a little bit too long. There were two other options next to him. We could have given the ball and probably a shot at Nicky Quaid, and were very comfortable. But we probably had probably 3 or 4 decent goal chances, and we needed to take one then. But we weren't getting enough scores from playing. Weren't enough getting a spread of scores at all. I think it was, you said, 7 Limerick players in the first half. We'd only 3, you know. So it was, every score was so hard for us to get. But 3 points down there, like, that's unreal, you know.
Yeah, because, like, I mean, you mentioned the Jack Fagan one. That was probably the best of the goal chances. Stephen Bennett probably went a little bit too wide, JJ. Jack Prendergast could have given it to him a little bit faster than that. Like, and then Desi Hutchinson could have given one inside to Montgomery early, and he tried to step inside, and Hannan took him down. I thought Waterford kind of delayed the hand pass a little bit too much, and they took the ball into contact when sometimes they didn't need to.
Yeah, well, fair to Waterford, they were asking questions of this Limerick full back in there as well. And look, we're talking about this all year now, where is the possible weak link for the Limerick team, and everyone has said the full back line, but no one has actually laid a glove on them since. But at least they were asking the questions, you know. And look, Stephen Bennett got in his left hand side, his favourite left, and but Dermot Burns made an unbelievable stop there as well. Like, you know, and that shows the half back line was filtered back there as well, just to any sniff of opportunity that Waterford had. They were just kind of, they got bodies back, and nice Kyle Hayes, and the rewards were going back in the fullback, which we didn't see up to this now. And that's a credit to Waterford, that they were asking him questions about that fullback as well. But look, the whole game was played on Limerick's terms as well. That's the unfortunate thing for Waterford as well. And they're so good at what they do, and they have it absolutely perfected. And to me, I just don't see how we can counteract it, you know what I mean? Because you need to get bodies out into the middle third to counteract them, but then you need to get bodies up into full forward to kind of ask questions over that full back in the goal. And then you have, like, the Mike Casey, which you need to go back next year again, you know what I mean? And how is John Kelly going to sit down and pick that team next year? Now, Morrissey going to go back out into the half back line, and then you're saying Burns and Kyle Hayes could be the two all-star half backs as well, so it's a conundrum for John Kelly next year as well. But obviously he's not worrying about that at the moment. But it's going to be very, very hard to see anyone kind of lay a glove on him for a while, to be honest.
It is hard to see how they're beaten. Waterford got destroyed on their own puckouts, Ken, in the first half. They went long, anytime they went long, I think Stephen Bennett might have caught one, but they got destroyed on all the rest of them. Jack Fagan, I don't think, caught a puckout all day. Dermot Burns actually caught an early one over Jack Fagan's head, and that was a bit of a marker probably for Limerick after Fagan is catching 10 of them against Kilkenny.
Yeah, look, Fagan, I suppose he probably came of age against Kilkenny, and we were delighted because it felt like it was giving us a different option. He had a bit of pace, he had a bit of power, but I suppose, look, it didn't go. As you said, Dermot Burns caught a lovely ball under the Cusick stand straight over his head, and their half back line dominated as well, you know. They're so strong in the air, but I just felt we were trying to win static balls from our puck out, you know, which is impossible to do against a big athletic team. You have to be moving. We went long really on every ball, and the Limerick slapped it up, really, you know. It's like going long, and I keep on saying it, and there might be so much of that, that Kilkenny team. You had JJ, Tommy, Brian Hogan, you go long on top of them, and with a static, they're age up all day, and that's what Limerick are doing. Even like Hannan, there's a perception out that may Hannan, you might have a go off Hannan, but Declan Hannan, I thought he was great yesterday again, you know. And he's obviously a leader there. He does the simple things right, and he leaves Burns and Hayes do the motor up and down, you know, and he holds it there. But like, if you think you get the better of him, he could be in for a tough day, because I think there's a perception definitely that, oh, you might run him, or you might have it, but no, he does his job perfectly as well, you know. So they're such a tuned team. And as Jay just said, I don't know where you go about really trying to dismantle them. It's going to be a very tough few months for every manager out there, thinking how we're going to counteract what they're doing, you know. It's very hard.
Yeah, it was Desi Hutchinson was out on Hannon for a while. They were completely rotating, JJ. You couldn't keep up with who for Waterford was playing where, couldn't you not? Because I love a matchup, and I was trying to think of who the matchups were, and it was just all over the place really, because Waterford were moving their forwards around.
Yeah, he started centre forward at Declan Hannon. Right? That's just for the throwing really. I said he was throwing a curveball in there, and after a few minutes, then he wandered into the full forward line, to be fair to Murray, you know. And I thought O'Neill Montgomery was probably out with Kyle Hayes for most of that first half when he was bombed up down the field. And unfortunately, now that switch that the man down O'Neill didn't work out for Watford either, you know. But just the speed of the man, and look, the strength of him, the stride is just unbelievable there as well. But again, look, Watford probably went long in the Munster final, and they got a couple of breaks until the last 15-20 minutes. But unfortunately, Limerick started like they finished in the Munster final, just dominated their puck out. But then, if you go short, they lead you all day as well. Like, you know, they have scored up to the final, they scored 131 in the opposition puck out. So, like, if you go short, they nearly tease you to go short, and you go short, then you're just bombarded with Limerick jerseys all over the field. And then, if you go long, then they're half back and they're sitting there waiting for it. Like, they were burned. I just had gone on the silent reporter in during the match, and he was sitting right in front of me, you know, kind of way, and I was probably closest person to him now for a while. He just sat there. I didn't mind where his man went because someone else picked him up, you know. And to have the license is brilliant for a half back. Like, and I suppose the movement of Kyle Hayes back to wing back, he probably has a bit more freedom there than he has centre forward. It's a funny thing to say, but like he can get on ball a bit better there and attack there as well, because in centre forward, then you have your centre back, and then you have your deep line midfielder there as well. It's kind of like football, really. That's where it's gone, and a bit of space is on from your half back line. But the difference in hurling and football is your half back lines can score from back there, and Burns a wicked sap of the ball. And Kyle Hayes got a point in the first half. He could have got a goal, and he could have got another point there as well. He could have came off the field at 1-2 at half time. Yeah. That's phenomenal kind of shooting from a half back, you know.
Go on, Ken.
Sorry, it must be lovely for a half back to be able to play that role, you know, especially, I suppose, the fitness they have. And like I play centre back, JJ play wing back for years. I was rarely free. I would love to have that freedom at times to be able to play wing back in the modern game, because you'd be hoping to pick up 3 or 4 points a game, because that's where the game is played, and fellas will give you that pop pass. And a lot of times, a lot of the striking from Burns and Hayes are on their own. Like, it is a lovely role. Now, they're after perfecting it. I don't know how you counteract, but they're after perfecting it. But they're free a lot of times, which I'm not too worried about our men, you know, because our men are probably worried about when they go back and they're able to stop nearly the Limerick half forward line. And that's where they're half back and benefiting from, such having a good half forward line as well, you know, which is...
And you rarely see them get into the rucks, Ken. You know what I mean? They're always standing 5 yards, 10 yards out from the ruck. So when the Limerick lad does win the ruck, turn around, pop pass back, and then they're on then. Burns would cross field the ball over to Aaron Gillan, and then the whole middle turn is going after packing my bodies is after going, it's going by because the ball has gone into full forward.
It's mad. It's like, and they're striking it's so good then, they're avoiding the mess.
Well, let's think, here's a question I want to throw to two of you, because you mentioned Montgomery, and I watched Montgomery on a couple of times leave Kyle Hayes and pick Keane Lynch up, for example, because Tadhg De Burka wanted to drop, or whoever Waterford wanted to drop back in a sweeper. JJ, is it a waste of time playing a sweeper against Limerick? And because you have Gillan and Flanagan, and they're standing on the edge of the small box, and they're breaking out to the wings. Now, I know from a sweeper in Gaelic football where he'll stand in the middle, and he'd love the ball to be put out into those corners, because in Gaelic football, you can't score from out there. So the sweeper is doing his job. He's sending those passes, you know, wide, and then they can get bodies back, because you're not going to swing one over from the sideline. But in hurling, when you can have Gillan and Flanagan and these lads able to score from the sideline, what is the point in having the sweeper? What's he doing? All he's doing is making one of your forwards pick up his man, and then you have Kyle Hayes free. Do you know what I mean, JJ? Like, I mean, especially against Limerick, they never waste the ball, and they put all their passes diagonally into the corner. They're not too bothered about going for goals unless it's blatantly on. What's the sweeper actually really doing?
I know what you're saying regarding the sweeper off the ball coming down to the middle of the goal, but you're forcing the Limerick forwards out to the sideline. As a back, that's all you can do. If you don't have the ball in your hands, you're trying to make it as hard as possible for the Limerick forwards to actually score. But, like, Conor Brunty had a good game yesterday. Now, I'll be honest with you, about the ball has come in top. Now, he they broke even on 50-50 was, but a couple of balls were just bouncing in front there for Aaron Gillan, and he's getting in over the bar. But the ones you're talking about over the sideline, the sweeper will stop that in front of the goal and probably stop that goal threat as well, to be honest with you, because if the ball is bouncing in front of the full forward, he's just turning, take on the full back, he's straight through on goal. But like, if you're shooting from out in the sideline, you're not always going to score them. On, as Ken said previously, when them ball went over the bar, you're kind of saying, look, as a team looking at that, you're again playing against that, you're under pressure, you know. When the ball is, they're shooting from the end line off the back foot, and to get that actually hit it over the bar, you're not always going to score that one. But when they do go over, you know the team is on form, you know. And I suppose the sweeper and deep line centre back with Tyler Burke usually plays, he's stopping that goal certainly, stopping the ball bouncing in front of the full forward line. As a defender, it's a nightmare, because with Aaron Gillan, he's so good in the air, you have to kind of, you know, play him from behind, because if he slips in behind you like he did against Ronan Maher, he catches the ball over your head and he's straight through on goal as well. So you nearly have to kind of feel the positions by going from behind. And with Tyler Burke is sitting in front of you, that he'll stop that ball bouncing. But if he goes out to the sideline, look, you're trying to put as much pressure as you can on him in getting the shot off. But sometimes, as a defender, some attackers get the ball hit over the bar, you have to say, cheers, that was a great score. Not much else it can do on it. You know, the kind of ways you're depending on people outside of the field, putting pressure on the lad striking the ball. And that's what we're saying about the halfbacks. They had time to plant their feet, stand, look up the field, and hit it into an area that Aaron Gillan is running into, and it's bouncing in front of him. It's not really much to do about it, then, to be fair.
Yeah, but that's what I think. You're probably wasting your time playing the sweeper against them. Like, I think when teams are playing the sweeper against them, they're rubbing their hands, because it's giving that freedom to their strikers. I always think Gillan and Seamus Flanagan rather that ball on the wing, because they're after getting so many scores over the last couple of years of doing the exact same thing. It's second nature to them. Like, even we're saying that point was unbelievable. I guarantee you, Gillan's going to be like training, because it looks so natural and so easy to him. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I think you're obviously trying to nullify a goal threat. Limerick don't need goals, because there's so much play going into certain areas that are getting scores. They have the bodies out there. They have extra body out there, extra two bodies out there. It doesn't matter. They just pick off the points, you know. So it's like in our own club game here in Waterford, you're playing Ballygunner, and every team played the sweeper against Ballygunner. Ballygunner, it doesn't matter. The sweeper's avoided. You have Desi Hutchin, you have Peter Hogan, and two men full forward like Limerick, and the ball just goes to the side of the sweeper. The lads will pick off points, they get one goal, the game is over. So at times you're wasting your time playing the sweeper against the teams that after mastering it that well. But I know what JJ is saying, you're trying to stop a goal, but when they're picking up so many scores and they've so many strikers, that's the difference with this team to other teams. They've so many score getters, lads. It's incredible, you know. And even Darragh Donovan and O'Donoghue don't have to go for scores. They're pure link men. Now they can score, but they're just getting a ball passing to probably six scorers there, and that's not including Gillan or Flanagan. Six scorers in the middle area, three half backs, and the three half forwards, which is mad.
The other flip side of it, JJ, is if you play the sweeper and you're bringing back forwards to, you know, pick up the centre back, the set, Cian Lynch, whatever, and he had the freedom of the park with all these changeovers, you know yourself, it can get a bit confusing. Like, and then on the flip side of it, say if the sweeper does win the ball, now he looks up and there's a sweeper on the other end whose man had to do it a bit of work. So your options are actually limited when you look up into Desi Hutchinson, and you're not as good as Limerick at giving those deliveries in. So you're not stopping Limerick, and you're actually stopping yourself. Do you get me? When you're trying to play the sweeper.
We're going to have to play 16 players against Limerick now. You need the bodies in the middle third, but then you need the bodies up in the full forward when you're scoring. You're looking away, there's no point in getting the ball up there and you're hitting it down to Barry Nash and Sean Finn, and then you're just resetting and coming at you again. You know, you're kind of firefighting as much as you're going to have to nearly go man to man and kind of back your players to go do it, you know. And I suppose you go back to the Munster final, it was a full forward that's done all the damage really against Waterford in Peter Casey and Graham Mulcahy. And look, Graham McCarty didn't score, and Clevenski came on, he didn't score. But then Tom Mercy got 5 points, and Garrod Hedley got 7 points. You know what I mean? And Seamus Flanagan only came on and got a point in the Munster final, and he got about 3 or 4 points as well. So you're kind of, you're for one thing, but it's six guys you have to look after. Whereas Waterford or Limerick against Waterford are probably looking to race. We'll hand to Stephen Bennett now, and Austin Gleeson. Look, special mention for Austin Gleeson. Well, I thought he was absolutely brilliant yesterday, now to be fair. And the hit he was given and taken was phenomenal. He kept on going, and and he brought on his form from the semi-final as well. I'm delighted to see him. He had a big game and when needs most now for Watford as well, to be fair to him. But if you stop the two of them, as a Limerick point of view, we're kind of saying, right, we'll handle the rest of them. But the Limerick lads, as I said, there's the six scoring forwards, and then like Peter Casey and Pat Ryan, these lads come in there as well. So it's changes all over the place. Like,
it's a huge threat.
Yeah, it's a huge threat. John Kiely said after the game, and I think he's talking about like the extra man they had back there. He was saying we were resolute in defence and we always had somebody back there that was going to cut it out, hold it up. Like, I mean, hold it up is always the good one. And I think Limerick borrow a lot of their tactics and game plans from Gaelic football, because we know tactical fouling is in Gaelic football a long time now. So say if you lose a ball and there's a bit of a break on, yeah, Limerick have no problem fouling in that situation, Ken. Like, I mean, they've no problem doing that. Tap Stephen Bennett, but like a lot of teams against them don't score much from play but score a lot of frees. Like, there is a bit of a trend developing.
Yeah, they are. I suppose, look, they're obviously working on it. They probably feel, look, they can stop the run or stop the track as fast as they can in an area that mightn't hurt them as much, you know, and they're doing it, and they are doing it. There's no black card in hurling, that's the way it is, like, you know. They're such big men, they're using their bodies, using them very hard. A lot of over the shoulder stuff with the arms, they're always getting the second hand in. But look, I'd have no problem what they're doing, because look, it's still, that's the way the game is, and that's what's suiting Limerick. It's up to our teams to come up with something. Like, you're getting score frees. If you're getting that ball in enough danger areas, you will get enough frees, and that's where it'll change again then. Do you know where I'm coming from? Like, if they're stacking away crazy on the frees, you're tipping away with a goal, you're getting a couple of points in play, then they're saying, right, lads, we're giving away too many frees. Let's bring it back in a small bit. You're leaving yourself too open. We're keeping teams in it that maybe shouldn't be in it, you know. But they play on the edge. They play to the very limit. Look, I wouldn't think they're a dirty team at all. I think they're a physically very strong team. Now, the best teams are always fairly play on the edge when it comes to being cynical, whatever. You really have to be at this level. Yeah, if a foul is on, a foul is on. That's the way it is. That's the way I saw it, and that's the way I see it. But still, they're so capable of mixing any style of game that wants to be played, and that's probably the key for them. They can be physical, they can hurl, they can run, yeah, they can do anything they want, you know, and that's where they've so many different probably facets of their game, which makes them so hard to beat, you know. And that's where the problem is. They can mix it any way you want, which is it must be unreal for John Kiely, knowing that he can send them out a certain way and they do it. But their attention to giving that ball and attention to detail on the ball is so good. Like, there's fellas passing the ball 5 yards away with a defender on their back, knowing that he's going to grab that ball, give it a little pop pass. Like, it's alien to what we grew up doing or what we've done when we're playing, but these players are so confident doing it. It's, at times it looks unreal, doesn't it? Like, even the Kyle Hayes, the flowing move there near the goal, it looked unreal to watch. Like, some of the scores they're getting with a pop pass, Tom Morrissey around the shoulder, hand pass over to Hegarty, you saw that in the second half. Class stuff, like, really just intricate kind of passing that are so comfortable in doing it. To me, they're a brilliant team to watch, you know.
I think so too, JJ. And I see people, like, there's a perception out there that they're boring to watch. Like, is that traditionalists getting pissed off at a short game? I find them brilliant to watch. I don't, but I'm not a hurling person, so.
Yeah, no, I fully agree. I'd rather watch Limerick playing and watch a team that with a sweeper or someone that work up the field, they don't, they kind of falter back. The defender is a team, the attack is a team there as well. But when they get the ball, it's a hand pass now into the right person in the space. He always gets the ball, you know what I mean? So their first instinct is hand pass out, get into space, and then deliver the ball. You know what I mean? They never panic under any situation, which is great. And I'd love to have a look at their training. See what kind of drills they do now. Canuck is supposed to be absolutely unbelievable what he does, you know what I mean? But they're just so well drilled, and I tell you, a second in their training is never wasted either, you know. But just going back to your point there, you were saying about the tactical foul, and I think it's very, very good. And you can't underestimate a foul compared to if you're marking a man and he scores. Forwards are all the conference players there as well. And if you, I'd rather give a foul away and let a free taker score a point than actually get your man, take you on, beat you, and hit it over the bar. And if you foul him, you're number one, you're taking away the confidence of him getting that score, and you're frustrating him as well. If you're frustrating him, when he gets the ball the next time, he might make the wrong decision because he wants to get on that scoreboard as well. Like, you know what I mean? So, well, you can't underestimate what they do as well in regard to giving away the free. Fair enough, the free taker has a bit of confidence hitting the ball over the bar, but The fact that attackers score from play is a huge confidence boost for any forward. And the more into the game that you can keep your forward off the scoreboard, the more kind of anxious he is to get on the ball and make the wrong decisions. You might go as an individual rather than actually going for the team. The best thing is for the team. You might go for the best thing for the individual too. So another point that you make for this Limerick team is, well, the tactical fouling is working to three for them, you know.
Yeah, no, it definitely seems to be. We'll just finish up on this point, Ken. And this was, obviously you were delighted at half time, but then Limerick scored four in a row at the start of the second half, you know, which fairly would have deflated Waterford. But I had down in my notes here, Waterford had plenty of possession, you know, during that time. They were just hitting in. Montgomery and Hutchinson were the two men inside at that stage. I don't know. Like, I mean, maybe they were under too much pressure at the field. There always seemed to be a Limerick man, you know, up behind them and knocking it away, whereas Limerick are getting ball into space, you know. And I don't know if it's that Hutchinson and Montgomery can't win the same ball as Galan and Flanagan, or is just an element of that quality of ball not being as good.
Yeah, the quality ball probably wasn't as good because obviously they're running a bit more pressure out in the middle of the middle of the field, you know. But Hutchinson, I thought, showed well yesterday. I thought he tried his best, you know. But as you said, there was always a Limerick man just a metre or two away to get a touch in, and the next man has it, the free man has it. Nash won some ball yesterday from the likes of Sean Finn, Dan Morrissey tapping that ball down. But yeah, we had a lot of possession, but we never really threatened them. We never got a flow. We never really got a flow into our game.
No.
We never got momentum like we did against Kilkenny. Like, we're a mad kind of a team. Waterford have always kind of based on momentum, nearly. And that, I suppose, when Bennett got that goal in the second half against Kilkenny, we kind of came in waves. We never got an out run to get even a goal in one wave, even. Do you know where I'm coming from? To get,
yeah,
get a couple of scores on the board.
Yeah, I thought that the Austin Gleeson punt just before half time off his left side from the corner, that was a good move. That was probably the only move for to put it in nice to Hutchinson. He hand passed it off to Gleeson. And I was thinking, geez, maybe that might spark Waterford.
Yeah, I thought so. Now, if you look at Desi, I think miscontrolled that for the first second. There was a chance of a goal on there. Austin was just nearly gone past him by the time he gave it to him. If he had given that just before that, I think he missed control. He rose again, gave it then. There was definitely a goal on. Because I know, knowing Austin, there was definitely a goal on there. He would have gone for it. You know, that we needed it. Though I thought Austin was probably our best player yesterday. He probably banished, personally, he probably banished 2017 final. He wasn't great that day. But he kept going yesterday. He got 3 points in play. But we didn't have enough good performances yesterday, you know. But that was actually a good play, a lovely ball into Desi, but he miscontrolled that ball the very first when it came into him, and there was a chance when he half lost, and he was probably nearly too close to goal to the sideline when he went, or to the end line when he went for the point, you know. But it was a nice flowing move, but we didn't have enough flowing moves, we didn't have enough space, you know. And that probably, look, that's all coming from Limerick's work rate, how hard they tackle out in that middle area, the amount of bodies out there. But we just didn't have enough probably composure on it, or enough flow to our game to get us really excited or into the game, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Right, lads, we'll leave the analysis there. We'll come back with performance of the weekend. All right, performance of the weekend, lads. So Garóid Hegarty got man of the match, 7 from play, freaky stuff, I suppose, JJ. And I don't know, like, I mean, there's nothing this fella can't do. He has the silky skills of a Shane Conway, only he's a giant. He can win puckouts. He's got divilment in him. He works like a dog. He pops up in space. He's supposed to be being man-marked, yet when he gets passes, he's completely free. It's like he's a 6'6" elusive giant. I don't know how to fault this fella. And one other thing, he's brilliant at as well, and I know Austin Gleeson and Joe Cannon get great compliments out of their sidelines. He takes sidelines in a different way. He takes them like a golf shot, where he's just whacking them along the ground to a lad and never gives them away either.
Yeah, so he's too tall. He can't bend over. But he was unbelievable. He was unbelievable all season, really. And you're probably going to the stage that you're going to have to just kind of not hold any ball yourself and just kind of go man mark him and try and spoil him as much as you can. Now, to be fair, Kilmaine, he cracked him in the Munster final and he got a couple of scores in the first half. He got two in the first half. But I'd say near the end, look, he got a couple of scores after half time. But I think Kilmaine was trying to attack the ball for the, at that stage, you know. And I think, especially against the Limerick team, you're going to have to get on top earlier on. If you let Limerick get a lead, they're not going to kind of relinquish that lead there either, to be fair. And Kilmaine said he from crossing the window in the last 15-20 minutes and went forward, and that's where Garóid kind of picked off a couple of scores there again. But
yeah,
he's just unbelievable. He's just drifting around the field, taking hits, giving hits. He's everything that, as a manager, you want on your You can give it to him low, you can give it to him high, he can win the ball, dirty ball, but it doesn't make a difference what ball he gets. He just scrap it over the bar. It makes it look so easy, nonchalant, he just hits it over the bar off the left or the right, from the sideline, 65 yards out, 20 yards out, doesn't make a difference to him, you know.
Is he unique the way he strikes a Ken, the way it's all in the wrist, like he flicks the hurl up? Is, I don't know, I don't know how to describe it because I've never done it. He just looks like he's hitting it in a different way.
Yeah, look, he's a phenomenal player. Look, to be honest, yeah, like, when he came on the scene first, you would say, like, oh, you'd think this fella, definitely there's potential there. He's a bit raw, but I think his hurling's after him proven unbelievable over the last few years. Remember 2018 Ireland final, he tapped the ball off the ground, caught it, put it over the bar, and you're kind of going, that's not Ireland final, he's only a young fella. But look, what the range of his points, his running, how strong he is, how brave he is and how hard he is in the tackle, he'd be a nightmare to mark. And as JJ said, I think your only option on him is just go, just pull and drag him and try and suffocate him the best you can. But I'd say he'd probably enjoy that as well, you know. He'd grab you one hand and throw you to the ground. I said, this one, he's unbelievable. Like some of the scores he's getting from 70, 80 yards out with shortening the hurley and tapping it over the bar and just straight back out again, the long stride on him. Like, it's definitely the modern player, like that. But he's probably sums up Limerick, I suppose, what he's doing, the confidence in him, his range of what he's able to do. As you said, JJ, low, high, whatever you want, he takes it and do it. And I heard him talking last night, he seems like a grand fella, yeah. He's full of confidence, and that's what you want. Like, if you're Limerick, you're rubbing your hands saying, we've this fella playing at this level. Like, he's so consistent over the last couple of years as well. You could get unbelievable 3 or 4 years out of this fella. And like, he'll go down if he keeps going as a great. And he will, because he's after revolutionising certain areas of the pitch. Because where does he play? He plays wing forward. He pops up everywhere. And how do you mark him? Like I said, I paused on Teddy last night. Said, where, who's on him? I didn't know. You know, you said he's picking up points. And it could be on his own 30, 40 yards. You're kind of going, I don't know how he's doing it. I don't know how he's doing it, but he's producing some performances, you know.
You're not alone, Ken. I've often paused the television, scratching my head, going, what the hell? Who's meant to be marking?
Yeah, do I know the game? Do I know that? I'd be pausing. Do I know the game anymore? What's the game
of God is
going on?
I was at the game with a perfect view of in the whole stadium, and I was scratching my head, going, who's on him? But, like, I mean, I don't know how he's able to do it. Arguably, Tom Morrissey was the man of the match. Like, Garrod Hegarty is player of the year. I don't think there's ever been a more, a bigger shoe-in, JJ. But Tom Morrissey got 5 from play. He got the very first point, very last point. Got the very first point against Galway in the very last point. He had 5 assists where he's given, 3 of them were to Garrod Hegarty, where he's given the last ball. He's also catching puck-outs. He's also working like a dog. He's built like a tank. Like, I mean, it's incredible. Like, you would make an argument to say Tom Morrissey probably shaded the man of the match yesterday.
Yeah, and look, we're probably talking about tactics and systems where Limerick play, you know what I mean? And you're going out marking the guy, you're waiting for him to make this 20 or 30 yard run. But Tom Morrissey just sat beside Kevin Moran and caught the ball over him and hit the ball over the left hand side. You kind of said, right, Jesus Christ, what kind of afternoon we're going to have now, you know? But we can just win it anyway, you know what I mean? You're talking, you're kind of a bit old school there as well, but they can do it every way, you know? And the two lads, though, I said, Tom Morrissey won a couple of hard balls there as well and popped them off to Garrod Hegarty, who got the score. But like, again, that's the Limerick kind of mentality. The best man in the best position will always get the ball. It's not about an individual, is about a team. But I think Tom Morrissey, especially in against Galway, when Aaron Gillan was off, and as well, he stood over the freeze and he came up to the fore really in the last 5-10 minutes as well. But again, he's just improving year in, year out as well. It's scary where these guys are going, you know. And when you're looking at Tom Morrissey and Garrod Hegarty, you're kind of saying, just thank God I'm retired. They weren't around when I was around. You know what I mean? Regardless,
but But they don't miss that. Like, his accuracy is, if they have a wide, you're kind of shocked, you know. So like, it's mad, and that could be underneath the stand and 3 fellas on him. Their accuracy is incredible. But JJ, you know, playing, their striking is unreal, isn't it? Their striking is so crisp and so sweet every time under pressure on the run. It's unreal. They never miss a hit of ball. Like, and that's a fair skill in itself, you know, when under pressure. But it don't even come into play with these fellas, you know.
No, the Tom Morrissey's a wing forward, right? And the point he got from the 45 off his back foot behind him, like, that's Owen Kelly, corner forward kind of brilliance, JJ. Yeah. Like, this isn't what wing forwards are meant to be doing.
Kind of hybrid of an old school corner forward and a wing forward all together in one, you know what I mean? Perfect storm for him, really, to be honest with you, you know what I mean? But yeah, he can do it all, and it's The biggest kind of insult to injury really is, boys, is catching the ball over your head and slapping it over the bar, you know what I mean?
I know.
It's never for a half back for something like that to happen, and then goes on and just takes over the whole field, you know. I probably had a point to prove now as well against the Munster final. Ken Moore got the better of him, to be fair to him, you know. He didn't score that figure there, so he had the bit between his teeth, and they had a confidence going from the semi-final as well, like, you know what I mean. But unfortunately for Kevin, he was on the backlash to it yesterday as well, to be fair. But I don't suppose it make a difference who was marking him. He was just on song, you know, and just the confidence going through the whole team as well is just phenomenal, like, you know.
Yeah, he definitely was. I mentioned Owen Kelly, Ken, and I did a tribute show with him during the lockdown. I did one with JJ as well, and I said, where did you learn to do the one off the back foot? I said, that I'd never seen that before you'd seen. He says, I saw Ken McGrath doing it, so I just started practicing it.
yeah, back then you could try at me, and I enjoyed that myself, but I didn't master as much as Owen Kelly ended up mastering. Jeez, he was unbelievable at doing it. To me, Owen Kelly was, JJ tell you as well, he's some stick man, wasn't he? Like, he was unbelievable.
Yeah, brilliant.
He's a tiny bit of space. Now, I mean, back in the day when you're a cornerback and he's on him so much, like a Jackie Tyrrell or an Ollie Canning, who would be so tight on you, and Kelly make that space and put it over. But yeah, look at that. I thought that was a brilliant point, Tom Morrissey. I loved watching that now. I was saying, that's like back in the old days, you know, because them points, a lot of lads aren't going for them anymore because it's like a wasted opportunity, you know. But like, yeah, it was the defender was on him, and it was great point, you know. But look, all his striking, like, he got a point in the second half, tapped down over on the left hand side, just over the bar, you know, and it's like straight back to position again. That's what they're doing. There's no nonsense, just straight back to the position and get on with the game again. It's crazy.
Yeah, straight back, hurleys up. That's their thing. Hurleys up concentrate on the next puck out. Like, I mean, that's what you're... We've mentioned Aaron Gillan and Kyle Hayes already. Liz, I don't want to mention them. But I have to give Seamus Flanagan a shout out here, JJ. Anyone who listens to this show the last 3 years know I love Seamus Flanagan as a player. I couldn't understand how he wasn't making the team. He scored 3 points from play yesterday, but two of them... First one was one from the sideline where he stuck the fist up and celebrated. And I love lads that do that, you know, after a good point, not after winning a free. And then at the start of the second half, Limerick scored 4 in a row. And Flanagan was the one that got 2 of them. Like, he getting those 3 points he got were arguably 3 of the most important points that were scored yesterday. Like, I mean, and he showed that he has wrists. Like, some people would say that he's only there, you know, for his physicality and stuff. I think he has everything as well.
Yeah, great. You know, even the second half then, when he got that couple of points, and he done 3 or 4, jumped for the 3 or 4 fist bumps.
Celebrated them too,
you're smiling down at him while you're looking at him. But, yeah,
I was thinking of Ken McGrath.
But look, he was unbelievable again, you know what I mean? It just shows, and look, you have to pay tribute to John Kelly here as well, the hunger he has in these guys as well, and Peter Casey came on the semi-final, he got 2 or 3 points, didn't start, but back on again, he came on there yesterday again, worked very hard as well, and within a couple of minutes, he was involved in 3 or 4 different players for Limerick as well. So, just to John Kelly, to keep these guys, like, it's very easy for Seamus Flanagan to give out saying, I should be on this and cause a bit of war in training or whatever it is, like, you know what I mean? But he doesn't. He keeps the head down and says, working. That's coming from the top down. That's coming from John Kelly as well. It keeps everyone kind of on their toes and keeps them hungry as well. And look, said, if you have an issue with me, I'll play it in, and then show me you should be deserved to be on this team. And he did do that in fairness to him in the final there yesterday as well, like, you know. So again, another string to their bow in the attack as well, so it's just phenomenal what they have. It's phenomenal.
What do you think of Flanagan, Ken?
Yeah, I would rate him, you know. I'd definitely rate him. I'm surprised over the last couple of years he wasn't fully in there, but look, obviously he has himself right this year. I think he offers something different again. You said he's a big, strong man again. I like him all. Like, there's none of them. But he's hurling. Like you said, I wouldn't underestimate his hurling and his skill level. He tapped the ball down. It was a bit of a high pass. He tapped it down underneath the Hogan stand in the second half. He was going to the first point in the second half. And a brilliant strike off the left hand. I think it was from the 65 metres out. Like, it was under. Like, some of the points they got, they're nearly all morphing to one because nearly all are such good strikers that they're nearly going the same height over the bar. It's hard to distinguish between Flanagan and Morrissey at times on the left hand, you know. But I would definitely rate him, and he definitely offers something different to Limerick. And but then you have Peter Casey to come on then as well, and you're kind of going, right, he's different, he's fast, and he won 2 or 3 frees and he came on, and he's so buzzing around the place there as well. So look, there's so many options, but I'd rate Flanagan very, very highly. And I said I loved I love lads showing a bit of emotion. That's what you play for. That's what you want. Everyone can't be the same, you know, and to see the bit of few fist pumps, whatever he's done, and celebrate a point, that's great. That's what you want, you know.
Yeah. How do we like all these lads so much, lads? They're going to dominate hurling for the next 5 years, and we like all of them. We might not like them all in five years' time.
No, we like him now. We like the Kenny. We like the Kenny starting off. Yeah, we all. I know. Look, like obviously we're sick. We're sick in Morpher. We're sick because that's put in such a year for us and brought us back up to that level, and we're so proud of. But you'd have to have admiration for Limerick, and that's just, as a hurling man, you'd have to be admiration for. Doesn't be flattering anything. You'd have to have admiration for Limerick, you know. So, but look, it's hats off to him, you know.
Ken, I'll let you go. I won't have the father beeping the horn. Thanks very much, Ken.
Yeah, have him on the clock here. But okay, lads, no problem.
Okay, enjoy, Ken. Bye.
Yeah, we can't let Ken miss the few pints with the father anyway, JJ. That was very important to not miss that lift, or he could be stuck in the house.
No.
I was going to throw the Austin Gleeson. He's the only one really I thought on the water side, unless you can. Well, Stephen O'Keefe, obviously, who made the great saves, the puck out, maybe going into areas where they were losing and might be a bit of a dampener on his performance. But Gleeson really did stand up and was counted. And I was delighted to see it, I suppose. Based off his semi-final and final performance, there's a load for him to work on, considering we're nearly in next year's season already.
Yeah, look, and first kind of few minutes, it was kind of look around and Austin didn't get on the ball. And first probably 8-10 minutes, geez, where's Austin playing? I had to look around for him there as well. I could see him there. Then I was kind of hoping I wouldn't kind of pass him by, you know what I mean? But whenever he got the ball in his hand after that, then he was, look, he's probably one more for guy who was leading the charge. He was getting punishment, but he was giving out punishment as well. He kind of stood up to Kyle Hayes, coming out with a couple of balls, hitting a couple of tough shoulders. You could hear the thunder in the two lads kind of hitting. But look, the two of them got on, but there's no issue regarding that. But he had a couple of great scores in the first half there as well. And look, he tried very, very hard. To be fair to him, I thought he was the best Waterford player on the field as well. To be fair, you could say that he definitely broke even at least, you know, that kind of way in regarding the positions he was playing. And he wasn't just center forward, he was wing forward, he was full forward, corner forward, he's out in the field at certain particular times there as well. So he ran himself into the ground, but he has himself in great shape there as well. And that would bode well for Waterford in next year's championship as well. Like, you know, he kind of slow to get going throughout the championship, but he brought the work rate to it. And fairness, Liam Cal whipped him off in a couple of them, but the last couple of games, he was probably Waterford's, up with Stephen Bender, probably the most important player for Waterford. So it's a huge thing for your most talented player. And he's turned up on the big day as well, which is a huge thing for Waterford going forward as well. So he'll take great confidence from that as well, to be fair.
He will. And I know Liam Cal's talking about they need more strength and conditioning and stuff, but you're not going to put much more strength and conditioning in Jack Prendergast and Daryl Lyons, you know, and a lot of the kind of small players Waterford need another three or four players with Austin Gleeson's physique, you know, that can get stuck in, you know, and there's too many Jamie, you know, I'm not criticising any lads for the size, Jamie Barron's small, you know, Conor Gleeson who come on would be small, you know, like, I mean, there's nearly too many of that physique, and against Limerick, you're just eaten alive.
Yeah, the problem is Limerick have it every way, you know, kind of way, and you're probably, every team is going to compare to against Limerick now because they're obviously winning the thing, you know, and probably two All-Irelands in 3 years there as well, but not every county team has, they might have the size of players, but they wouldn't have the hurling that these Limerick guys have too, you know what I mean? So you'd only play the cards you're dealt with as well, to be fair, and more from my view, probably you kind of have to be realistic as well. At the start of the year, you probably wouldn't have predicted more from in the final, so I know it's hurting out at the moment, and Ken said, look, they're in bits here down in Waterford at the moment, but in a couple of weeks, you're going to have to evaluate what year they had, and they're after having a phenomenal year, made absolutely massive strides forward there as well as a county and as a team as well, and you just have to build on that then again for next year. Like, you know, you're talking about Neil Montgomery and Daryl Lyons, all these lads, probably well-known within the Waterford County setup, but probably throughout the country didn't really know him, but everyone knows him now at the moment as well, so huge strides forward for this and huge positive for the Waterford team there as well. Family and Cal to work on too. So as I said, yeah, it is hurting now at the moment, but they did make an Ireland final and they were competitive in it, to be fair to them, but just made an awesome Limerick team. And coming up to it, they said if they hit top strides, which they did, no team in the country would have lived with them, you know, and unfortunately they were on the receiving end of it.
That's it. And I suppose the next year they might have Pádraig Mahoney. He could coax Philip Mahoney, potentially. Shane Bennett.
Shane Bennett, back, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
which would be important. important ones, maybe to bring them up that extra level.
You're asking the question now, will he, after getting to the All Ireland final? You know, the kind of way that will he come back? You know what I mean? Or maybe he's just saying, like, we'll go with what we have. You know, the kind of way that's a great position for Liam to be in now. I'd say, like, so if anyone that dropped off, will we have to go and ask Liam? I wouldn't say Liam, it's hard to tell him to go back and ask the lads, will he go back there or not? You know what I mean? So, great place for him to be in, to be fair.
Yeah, they'll be ringing him, is pretty much what you're saying. Yeah, it mattered him
exactly.
Ringing them.
They should be, yeah,
they probably will. Yeah, I think performance the weekend, I'm going to go for Tom Morrissey just to change it up because those couple of points and all his all-round work and all the points that he set up. Grod Hegarty, obviously, he can be happy enough with his Player of the Year, JJ. So I don't think he'll have too many complaints. Yeah, so Tom Morrissey.
Tom Morrissey or Grod Hegarty now.
Tom Morrissey, like, I mean, I hear Shane Dowling last night saying on the Sunday game that Tom Morrissey used to be taken off a lot at underage level. Just shows the work he's done since then. Like, he seems like he strikes me as the type of fella who's just a total professional of the team, probably doesn't drink an awful lot and is just completely, you know, dedicated to the cause. I could have that completely wrong, but
that's what he
could. All right. Right, JJ, that's it. A weird year. Limerick champions again, and we're close enough to the league starting next year at the end of February. Sure, we'll leave it there. I might do a show on Thursday, depending on how many Limerick fellas I can grab hold of during the week. I didn't really want to be annoying them today. So we'll see. And there was enough to be talking about. So we'll leave it there. Thanks very much, JJ. And sure, we'll talk probably when the league starts in February. So we'll see you all then. Good luck.
And when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop. And when I got the chance to go, I said I'd stay going. So it opened up.
We were only the small little fish out there, so we are. And we're trying hard to make it through. But it's hard to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know. And it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today. Because, like, I'm heartbroken.